This morning we're here because we believe the gospel, the good news that God made a way for us to be saved. That one way, Jesus absolutely affirms in verse 6 of chapter 14. He affirms the exclusiveness of salvation. He says, I'm alone the way, the truth, and the life. And a genuine believer believes he's the way. They don't try and find a different way. They don't settle for anything less than God dying in their place as God the Son, the sacrifice for sin. And they don't settle for anything less than God the Son living the perfect life that we could never live in our place. Does that make a difference? Yes. The same Spirit of God that led the Apostle John to write the Gospel by John led him to write another letter. And so, to understand chapter 14, verse 6 in a very special way, let's turn back to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, if you don't know where that is, go to Revelation and back up about four books. It's Revelation, then Jude, then 3 John, 2 John, 1 John chapter 5. And I want to read together with you verses 9 through 13 because I want you to see how important who you're trusting in for your salvation truly is because of the release of the SIN virus and the need to have an antidote for it. So let's read together 1 John 5, 9 through 13. And these are great verses, starting in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. So God is coming and testifying of how important Jesus is. Here's the testimony. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given of his Son. What's the testimony? Verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. I might add, only. That's the idea. This life is exclusively dispensed through Jesus Christ. That's the concept. Verse 13, or verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So everybody in the world, all 6 point however many billion there are right now of us humans, are one of two classes of people. The Son-havers and the Son-have-noters. Those who have the Son, those who do not have the Son. It's not what nation you're from. It's not what church you go to. It's not where you were born, what family lineage you're from. It's either you possess the Son of God or you don't possess the Son of God. That's the message. Verse 13. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Let's bow together. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. It assures us this morning that standing here, either we possess you or we don't. And if we do, we'll know it. And we'll continue in that way because you will keep us faultless to the end with exceeding great joy, as your word so clearly says, because you are able to keep us from falling. You're able to present us someday into the glorious presence of the God we love, we serve, and in whose sacrifice we trust. Open our hearts as we consider the implications of this morning in these few moments we have. In Jesus' name, amen. I said all that because the Scriptures tell us, on the basis of 1 John 5, and if you want to turn back to the Gospel by John, and I want to center you on chapter 14, on the basis of what Jesus says in 1 John 5 and in John 14, those who believe in the Son have eternal life, but whoever does not believe in the Son won't see life but face God's wrath. Now, how can I explain that most clearly? Let me do it this way. In other words, nominal Christians. What's a nominal Christian? Someone that's a Christian because they were born in America, Christian because their parents went to church, Christian because they went to church, Christian because they aren't a pagan, you know, and they don't live in worship sticks or something. So they're a nominal Christian. They might be baptized. They might be a member. They might be a tither. They might be a worker. But nominal Christians, as well as devoted Muslims as well as pious Hindus, faithful Buddhists, Orthodox Jews, devout animists that do worship the rocks and the sticks, sincere agnostics and secular atheists, everyone who does not hold on to Jesus Christ as the supremely valuable Son of God, their substitute. Anyone who doesn't do that, anyone who doesn't believe Jesus is the Son of God, God incarnate in human flesh, living the perfect life, dying the perfect death, anyone who doesn't believe that does not have eternal life. That's just the bottom line of the gospel. There's only two kinds of people in the world, those that have life and those that don't. You say, why are you emphasizing all that? Well, in other words, you have to have a genuine Jesus to have a genuine salvation. Anything less than God in human flesh cannot die in my place. Anything less than God in human flesh cannot live a perfect life. So last week we examined one form of nominal Christianity. What we found out is they have a defective, non-genuine Jesus that doesn't have the ability to be God to die for them, doesn't have the ability to be the perfect life to live for them. And what we saw is that Mormonism has a false Jesus, one who can't save. Mormonism teaches an ascended hierarchy of numerous gods who are physical men. Each was a former sinner, but they became a god. What an amazing religion. Mormonism teaches redemption by one of many Jesuses on many different earths. But the Bible says there's one incarnate God in human flesh, and that this is the place he died. There aren't many earths with many Jesuses, with many needs of salvation. Mormonism teaches that salvation is involved in a secret ritual, which exalts those who come to the Mormon religion to become a god, and someday they get their own earth. You see the catch? They'll become a god of an earth sometime. And there'll be another Adam and Eve, and another Satan, and another fall, and another Jesus to die. And the whole thing just perpetuates itself endlessly throughout the universe. Mormons have good family ideas. They have conservative values. They talk about God. They talk about Christ. They talk about salvation. They talk about resurrection. They talk about eternal life. But we can't pretend that they are talking about the same Jesus, because he is not God in human flesh. He did not live the perfect life